Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to PFS Global Support. I have a little technical difficulty with our intro music today, so it's been a while since we've done a show. Today we're going to have Kyle on, and he's going to tell us his story of how, you know, Propecia and the side effects of Propecia have changed and altered the course of his life. So I'm going to bring Kyle on right now. Kyle, are you there? Can you hear me?
Hey, Adam. How are you doing today?
Hey, thank you so much, man, for coming on. I know this isn't an easy thing to talk about. It's a hard thing to talk about, but it's very important that we get your story out so men that are suffering can at least have some inspiration, hopefully, and learn some things about their own condition. So, Kyle, let's just start. What was life like before Propecia for you?
Well, Adam, life was it was pretty normal. I had a healthy sex life. I never had any issues in bed. I was always, you know, energetic. I wasn't tired. I wasn't run down or lethargic. You know, basically things like that, just normal and healthy.
So no major health concerns, no, you know, just living life, working,
yeah,
you know, enjoying things.
That's pretty much it.
Okay.
You know, and one thing too, when I was, you know, when I started this drug, I was really young still. I was only like 19. And, you know, I took it for about 5 years, so I was probably about 24. So I was one of the guys who took it for a longer period of time.
Okay, so let's
some
talk
guys
about
have,
this. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, no, you were going to say, you know, some guys start young.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of did it as more of a preventative measure. I mean, I kind of noticed a little bit of thinning, so I said, okay, well, you know, let me try to do something about it. I didn't want to go bald. So then I went to the dermatologist, and he prescribed me, you know, Propecia. But the thing that sucks, and I mean, I know this was back in, like, 2006 when I was 19, but he, you know, nobody ever warned me that there was potentially, you know, irreversible, or even if he said there was temporary sexual dysfunction, I wouldn't have touched the stuff, honestly.
So what did he tell you?
He told me that, you know, if you take it once a day, 1 milligram once a day, it should, you know, at least stop your hair loss, or it could even possibly regrow some new hair. So I said, this sounds like a wonder pill. I mean, I'm not sure why more guys aren't on it.
Yeah, no, I had the same experience. This is too good to be true, right? You know, and the label at that point in 2006, the label had no warning of irreversible side effects. Nothing was mentioned. So when you started, as you're starting to drug, how much internet research did you do? Did you stumble upon Propecia Help, or was that later?
That was actually later. That had been after I had discontinued the drug.
Yeah, me too. It would have been nice if I would have found that website before I took it, but I think most guys I've talked to, yeah, they not only did they not get any warning from the doctor, but they had no idea that this website existed. So when did it you first start noticing something was different while you're on Propecia?
I would say that it had started really probably about 2 years into taking the drug. But the thing that really stinks is I didn't attribute any of the side effects to that drug. I thought maybe it was something else. Like, one thing I do want to mention was within the first month of taking the drug, and this seems to be a common thing with a lot of guys, they say that they had a really, really bad, like, testicle ache, and they didn't know what it was. And now it's seeming it's probably this medication that did something. But really, 2 years into it, I started having, like, extreme anxiety and panic attacks. But fortunately, I was able to get those pretty much under control with, you know, Xanax and Prozac and things like that.
Can you describe a panic attack? Because I had the same symptom as my first. That was the first thing that started that was different, right? That was new. What were they like for you, the panic attack?
It was absolutely frightening. I had no idea what was going on. I felt my heart was racing. I was breaking out in a sweat. I didn't even want to go outside or do anything. I got really nervous and anxious and just, you know, I felt like I was, for some reason, I knew I wasn't going to, but I felt like I was going to die. I don't know why my mind was telling me that, but I felt horrible. And it took like a couple hours to pass. You know, I mean, it was terrible.
Yeah, those are the worst. I mean, I know a lot of guys. That's one of the symptoms many of us have. I had them first, and because there's no warning on the drug, you have no idea that it messes with your mind like this, that it changes your brain chemistry. You just think you're going crazy. I remember that same thing. I thought I was going to die, and like, oh, it's really bad. So if anybody's listening to this and you're going through what Kyle and I are describing, it is normal. If you know you're taking this drug and having side effects, and it does get better. And it sounds like for you, medication, Xanax kind of helped alleviate the symptoms.
Yeah, you know, and here's another funny thing that kind of sucks that I wish I had looked into further. But about 3 years into it is when I really started to notice like the ED and the impotence, and but really I just attributed that to actually the Xanax and Prozac, because that can be a known side effect of antidepressants and anxiety medicine.
Right.
So, but I didn't want to stop taking those because I didn't want those panic attacks to come back because they were so bad.
Now, when you went to your doctor, when you started having these panic attacks, and you said to your doctor, "Hey, look, you know, here's what's happening," did he all say, "Well, it could be the propecia," or was he clueless about that?
Absolutely clueless about that. Just, you know, not even a mention of it. And I myself never even thought of it. So, I don't know if it's something – I'm not trying to accuse anybody of anything, but I don't know if it's something that the medical community would purposely overlook. I mean, I hope not. But – or if it was just something that simple, that whoever attributes the medicine that's, you know, prescribed for hair loss to all those side effects.
Yeah, I agree. It's a common enough symptom with guys that get side effects that hopefully they'll add that to the label so guys know to expect it. So you begin having sexual dysfunction, you said, around the third year on propecia, but you kept taking it, right, because you thought it was the Prozac.
Right. I would have never attributed, erectile dysfunction, or the impotence to anything like that. It was just a hair loss drug. I mean, how bad could the sides be? I mean, I know it's prescribed under the name Proscar for BPH at a higher dose of, about 5 milligrams, but, I mean, I wasn't taking that.
Right.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I was just going to keep going. I was going to tell you, keep telling this, telling your story.
And then it was probably around that third year mark, maybe even 4 years, like closer to 4 years into it, I finally inquired with my primary care physician and even a local pharmacist here about the size of the drug, and they actually confirmed then that ED was possible in a small percentage of the men, but it should go away and subside with discontinuation of that drug. But the only thing that would stink is the hair loss would continue. And I wasn't seeing anybody at the time. I mean, there was nothing serious. So I figured, I'll just stay on it. I mean, I don't want to get off it and lose my hair, especially if the side effects would go away once I discontinue it.
Right. So what was the straw that broke the camel's back? At what point did you say enough is enough? And what caused you to stop taking propecia?
Well, around that fourth year mark, maybe a little bit after, I actually met a girl that I really, really liked. And I wanted to be able to perform and have a healthy relationship with her. So then I said, okay, well, I don't care anymore about my hair. I'm just going to discontinue this drug. And sure enough, I did. I stopped taking it cold turkey, too. I know some guys wean off, but I just stopped it cold. And that was...
Mm-hmm.
November or December probably of 2011. So I was about 24 when I stopped taking the medicine.
Okay, so you stopped taking propecia, and did you keep taking the Proscar and the Xanax when you stopped the propecia, or did you stop everything?
I stopped. At that point, I pretty much stopped everything.
Okay, so quite a few men describe, and this happened for me very, very strongly, stopping the propecia. Everything came back online. I'd say within 3 days, I was horny again. I was pursuing a couple girls that I worked with, and I immediately felt like myself. I lost almost 20 pounds. So for a month, I was good. Did you have that recovery?
It's been a while now. I can't honestly say if I remember if I had that or not.
Okay.
I wish I could, but I can't remember. And you know what would really sucks too is the fact of not being able to remember a whole lot from the, like, being on that Propecia. I think is part of the memory, you know, and cognitive side effects that it can cause.
So you have brain fog. You have that kind of feeling of living where the your brain's kind of wrapped in plastic. That's how it's been described to me. Do you have that?
Yeah, it was really bad, actually. And I can't believe I didn't, you know, notice it sooner, but it was pretty bad while I was on the medicine. And then once I got off it, it was pretty bad. And thank God, I mean, in time, you know, being off the medicine, it definitely has improved. And, you know, just being in school and doing reading and things like that to keep my brain sharp, it helps a lot. But, I mean, it's still it's a scary thing.
It's a very scary thing. And I think, though, I love what you just said there, Kyle, because, you know, for me, I was suicidal for about 2 years after, where I just didn't think it was going to get better. And it does get better, guys, if you're listening to the show. You know, I'm saying it to you. Kyle says it to you. Most guys I've had on the show have improved. So please, you know, hang in there. By the way, if you want to call in and talk to either Kyle or I have a question, you can call this number 718-508-9136. So, Kyle, you stopped the drug, but nothing, it sounds like not much changed. The symptoms kind of stayed there with you.
Yeah, here's the thing that really concerned me. You know, again, being told by multiple people that discontinuation of the drug, you know, would lead to the way I was before I started taking it. But here's the problem. About a month had gone by while I was seeing this girl, and I was still not having anything down there. You know, I wasn't getting any spontaneous erections. I wasn't getting morning or nocturnal erections. I couldn't get hard while I was around her. It was extremely embarrassing. And, you know, I was like, what's going on here?
Was she understanding? Did she take it personally? I know some girls will take that personally, that you don't find them attractive. Did she understand the situation?
I told her that it wasn't her, that it was me. And it really sucks because she was a good girl and I really liked her. Like, we had a lot of fun together, but except for that aspect. Finally, I couldn't take it anymore. About 6 months into the relationship, 6 or 7 months in, I'm surprised it even lasted that long. I told her about my situation, and I just broke down and told her, you know, because I was like, I couldn't take it anymore. And because she was wondering what was going on. And I didn't want the relationship to end, but unfortunately it still did. So, you know, it's hard. It's very hard to tell somebody that because you feel like you're going to lose them either way. Like, you'll lose them because you can't perform and have a healthy sexual relationship. And then you lose them if you tell them what's going on because, you know, I feel like what woman wants to be with a guy that can't perform like that?
Right. Since that time, has the erectile dysfunction, has that ability to perform, has that come back online, or are you still struggling in that area?
I do still struggle in that area, but I can honestly say with time, and, like, for me, I eat, like, a really healthy diet, and, I mean, I exercise a lot. Like, I slam the heavy weights. I go for, like, long runs. Things like that really, really help. So, you know, make sure that, guys, if you're out there, there's things that can be done to definitely help you in the meantime. And another thing, I'm not a doctor, and I don't really want to get into these things unless you want me to, but I was seeing a urologist, and now I'm seeing an endocrinologist who are actually both very helpful in prescribing me some meds to try to balance my hormones back to normal.
And that's ongoing? You're seeing them currently?
Yes, I'm currently seeing an endocrinologist.
That's great. Yeah, I think it's important to at least know where your blood levels are. Have your blood levels checked frequently. And I love what you said. Exercise has been great for me. I don't lift weights as much, but I do run 40 minutes to an hour every day. And I will say that that's the thing that really helped with my symptoms. Some of the symptoms that a lot of guys complain about that you mentioned, I personally still have really, really hard time sleeping. Like, I'll have nights where I just can't sleep. Never had trouble in my first 33 years. Has insomnia been something you've struggled with, or is your sleep okay?
My sleep is fine. But I can honestly say back when I was on that medication and even shortly thereafter, my sleep was pretty bad. It's mostly because of, like, you know, having those, I would still get some of those, that anxiety and those panic attacks, and of course, right. Afterwards, just being naturally concerned about, you know, having erectile dysfunction and trying to please my girlfriend and stuff like that, you know?
Sure. And the other one that is a really interesting symptom, I guess, is the kind of the rubber, the penis, the entire penis will feel like a piece of cold rubber. Like it doesn't have any pleasurable sensation. And I still don't have any pleasurable sensation in my penis. Is that something you have, or you avoided that symptom as well?
I sometimes, I guess, when it's flaccid, it seems like it's kind of like that, but I don't know. That honestly, I had it really bad when I first got off the medicine. And I think in time, though, it's definitely improved. So
you do remember having that kind of, it didn't feel good to touch your penis feeling, and then that's gotten better for you.
That has gotten better for me. But I can honestly say, like I said, towards the end there, when I was still in the medicine, and then when I got off is when I really, really happened to notice that it was just, it didn't feel like it was a part of me, you know what I mean? It just felt like it was really numb to the touch. It felt, you know, just like it wasn't even there, basically. And, I mean, even my testicles were, like, shrunken up inside of me, you know? So, I mean, thank God that came back, but it's like, this drug is definitely not something to mess with. And if they're going to keep it, personally, I think it should be taken off the market, but I don't want to start anything here. But if they're going to continue to, you know, prescribe it to patients, every doctor, you know, again, it has a stronger warning label, but every doctor needs to say, listen to me, before I give you this drug, this is a potential side effect, or these are the side effects that could happen.
Right.
Do you want to proceed?
I totally agree with you. I don't think, I really don't think they can, will take it off the market. If you consider, for example, cigarettes are still on the market, and we know they kill you. So, but I do think a stronger warning is not only justified, but, I mean, it's morally, it's the ethical thing to do, because men are still taking this drug thinking it's safe. And, you know, I try to warn men online, and there's a lot of guys online that think that you and I are just, you know, we're fear mongers, or that we're somehow hypochondriacs. And the truth of the matter is, you know, you and I were really healthy dudes that had nothing wrong with us before we took this drug. And now we have a list of things that are wrong with us. And that's not hypochondriacs. That's something this drug has changed in our body.
You know, one thing, you know, that I just want to add is I agree with that, that, you know, everybody, there's a lot of people out there, especially in the medical community and the drug manufacturer and things like that, that think that we're just a bunch of guys trying to come together, you know, with a get-rich-quick scheme and try to get some money out of them or something like that.
Right.
But that's
right.
That's just, I can assure you that is not true. I would, any day, I would rather say to the drug manufacturer, keep your money, find us a cure, please.
That's it.
Find something to cure this thing.
That's it. I totally agree with you. And each show I ask Merck, I say, if you're listening, and I'm sure Merck knows about the podcast and Propecia Help and all these things, like, there might be a few of us that want money, and I understand that if they've lost their job or they've lost a lot, I just want Merck to cure it, to find a cure instead of denying that it exists. You know, that day is passing, though, because the Harvard research is completed. It should be out within, you know, by the end of this year. Baylor is now completely full. So we're going to have two major U.S. institutions publishing research into this condition. So not only does it not only can they say it doesn't exist, but they caused it. They created this disease with their drug. So I totally agree with you, Kyle. I think you're right. I think cure is all that we want. So we hope they do the right thing. You have any words of encouragement? A lot of I've gotten a couple emails this week from guys, you know, they wanted to listen to your story, and they said, you know, I'm really depressed right now. I'm really sad. I don't see any reason to live. Could you give them some words of encouragement?
Certainly, I can give some words of encouragement. You know, I know this is an absolutely debilitating issue, but I'm going to tell you this. When I'm laying in bed, it's taking time, you know, and I'm sure the medicines I'm on probably help, you know, again, with the healthy diet and exercise and things, though. But being in bed with a girl, I can get a full-on erection again, which I never could before. So that's making me very happy. Now, I still have some issues trying to maintain and things like that, but I'm hoping in time, you know, that'll get better, too. So for all you guys out there who are suffering with this, there is hope. I know it's really difficult, you know, day after day with this weighing on your mind, but just stay strong and, you know, and keep pushing forward. And believe me, I know all too well about this situation. And it's a real, I just want to say it's a real tragedy for the men that have taken their lives over this and for the families and friends that have been left behind. You know, my heart really does go out to you, but suicide is not the answer. It's just not. There's an old saying, it's a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
Right.
Also, right. I'm sorry, go ahead, Adam.
Well, I was just going to say, we've already, recently we had another suicide in the family. Another guy that even, where he was in the research, he did the research at Baylor. He was one of the participants, so I'm sure our numbers are in the tens of guys, 10, 20, 30 guys. I don't even know how many have committed suicide, but go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say that, I know it's hard and it's an embarrassing thing to talk about, for these guys, but please, if you have these suicidal thoughts or or you need help, don't be afraid to reach out and get it. There's people out there. There's plenty of us, you're not alone. You can always talk to us and we can try to help you through it.
That's great, Kyle. I appreciate it. I thank you for your time today. I know it's not an easy topic, but your story is going to help men. I know it is. I can tell you right now, there's a couple of people listening to the show live as I look at my screen. So you're helping at least two guys right now that are listening. So plus all the guys that are going to listen to this later. Thanks for coming on. I wish you luck in hanging there. I think this thing's going to get cured. I think it's going to take a few more years, but I do think the good times are coming for us in terms of a cure.
I certainly hope so, Adam, and I believe you're right. I'm hoping somewhere within the next, 5 to 10 years, it'll be something for us, especially, for the guys that are younger like us that definitely still have some time. And I'm not trying to talk, make the older guys feel bad, but just unfortunately the majority of men affected by this thing, were ages like 21 to 46, apparently.
Yeah, that's the worst thing. And the guys that still have a sex drive and still have a chance to start a family, right, they're the ones that get ripped away from them, so... That's the other thing about this disease. All right. Well, thank you, Kyle, for coming on, and appreciate your time.
Thank you, Adam. Take care.
Take care. I just want to wrap up today's show, and that was a great story from Kyle. That's powerful. He, he has improved his condition over time. I want that to be the message that is heard from this podcast. I do want to say that, for me, it's been almost 6 months or 4 months since the last show. And in that time, I've had some improvements myself. I've gone to Baylor and participated in the research there. My erectile dysfunction is improved with Cialis. I now get, an erection every morning. And, I get random erections during the day, which never happened before I stopped taking Propecia. Like, once I stopped taking Propecia, I never got random erections, during the day. Now that happens, that's great. The other issue is the sleep, the sensitivity of the penis, the dry skin, the insomnia. Those things haven't really improved. My libido is gone. So, but I will say that I have found a woman that loves me and understands the situation, and I think her libido... is fine with random sex here and there. We don't have sex very much, but we're happy. And I've definitely found a girl that will love me in spite of this issue. And we're married and things are looking up because I have someone that supports me. So hang in there. I know dating is hard when you have these issues, but once you're through the depression or the panic attacks and you're able to kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel, know that there are girls that understand and don't mind that you don't want to have sex or that you can't have sex. So hang in there, guys. If you want to tell your story, please email pfsglobalpodcast@gmail.com, pfsglobalpodcast@gmail.com, and thanks for listening. And we'll have a show tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern, so tune in to listen to Michael's story. Thanks for listening.